You know what? Usually, right about now, we think of something funny to do before the show, but I haven't got a clue what to say this week.
I bet I can think of something funny during the show.
Okay, then, hit it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Locked In. I'm David Birch, one of your hosts, and I'm joined always, as usual, by the gaming ninja, Luke Riley.
Good day.
How you doing, Luke? You all right, mate?
Not bad, not bad. It's been a long time since the last podcast.
It's been a few weeks. I think we've all been quite buried knee-deep in a few games.
Yes, indeed, indeed. It's been busy, busy, busy.
There's plenty to talk about. Plenty of things going on out there.
Yeah, there's been news aplenty, as opposed to August, which was very slow.
Yeah, it was really, wasn't it, to be honest?
Like the Rubicon Desert of gaming news.
It always is. I mean, you've always got summer drought, I think.
Yeah.
And we were scratching for stories, but we got through it. We're through the other side.
Yeah.
And now we are, well, for the console launches over in the UK, we are now, I think it's only 28 days at the time of recording, until the next gen is upon us.
Not long now. The times are ticking away. I can't believe it's only a month till it's here.
To that later on, no doubt.
Indeed will, indeed will.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been exciting times. There's been a lot going on, a lot of news floating around. The console war is definitely starting to heat up a bit. But I think one thing we'll move into, I mean, I know it's a common subject, but we've all had our own experiences and our own opinions of it. But should we just get into some GT Online conversation? Because we haven't really talked about that, have we?
Not really, no. It's been mainly single player the last time I talked about it, because the GT Online wasn't out. But we've had many weeks to be able to go online and enjoy ourselves.
I think as well, when it launched as well, a lot of people were suffering with many weeks of not being able to get online as well.
The rage was amazing to see on Twitter.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who were very unhappy with the way that game was handling. I mean, I was one of the lucky few that got on about 10 minutes after it went live.
Did you get on straight away?
It took me, I was waiting for that race to start for about 20 minutes.
Right.
And then me and my trusty online wingman, we pretty much got on it straight away. And then we were up off and playing. I mean, granted, I lost a few levels here and there the first couple of days and a little bit of money here and there as well.
Mm.
But, I mean, I did actually manage to purchase one of the microtransactions on day one, because it was just up and running and alive. And I thought, you know what, I want an apartment. I'm not going to have to work too hard for that. I've already had to do it in the real world.
Did I like day one?
Yeah, the microtransactions were up and running on day one. 100%. I have the bank statement to prove it. 1.37 million GTA bucks, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
The maximum I've had has literally been 22,000.
Really?
Am I level 10, 11? I haven't really been playing that much, if I'm honest. Well, I've been playing a lot, but not doing the missions. So I've just been kind of free roaming and getting killed off the place and wasting my money. Murdering each other. It's all good.
We've been the complete opposite of my little online bunch of cronies. I mean, I'm now rank 94. I'm nearly got the holy rocket launcher, as I'm calling it. It's going to make our survival missions a lot better. But like I say, I've been one of the lucky few. I mean, there's a few things that, I mean, I want to sort of dip into with Rockstar. Come on, Rockstar. All you've done lately is you've cut back on what the mission pays out.
Yes.
They stop the replay function. That's fine. You can't completely keep spamming the replay button. That's fine. But then cutting down by the mission rewards by 50% for any replay, when you go back in, or if you make the phone calls, call Lester, Ron, or any of those guys, I think that's a bit much. There's a lot of people out there that have lost money, are grinding to do it. Some people are doing it in a naughty fashion with that glitch in the garage, which obviously I haven't done, because there's always a risk of a ban hammer, and yeah, I don't really want to lose any more progress than I did. But cutting it back and removing the ability for people to grind out, you know, and buy those fancy sport cars and get those big fancy apartments and buying all the weapons and buying all the clothes and getting everything they want to get, I mean, that's a bit naughty when there's more pressing issues that need to be resolved.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that's something that they need to sort of sit back and have a look. Okay, you've made a shitload of money. Get your shit sorted out. you know, it's about time you did that. And, you know, you need to start thinking about releasing the heist as well, because a lot of the levels, I've seen a lot of the levels of people I'm playing with and the people I'm playing, you know, in the open world type of things. There's a lot of people touching that 100, 120 rank. So it's now just about, you know, getting serious with heists.
Yeah.
Because people have been playing this game a lot. They need to sort of branch out with what's going on. I mean, I think I've found two places where you can pull off the heist. I found some of the banks you can get in. Before some of the YouTube videos were launched, I've actually found some of the buildings you can go in and have a look around and find the bank vaults and stuff. We've already done that in our little crew. And now let us rob the damn things, that's what I say.
I think that's important. I mean, there's heist style missions where you've got to go in and steal a briefcase or steal a cargo plane or something, but there's none of the big, huge heists yet. I think it'll be good if they include them soon.
Yeah, you do. There are some heists that when you sort of push in level 50 to 70 that start popping up when you get Trevor that contacts you. There's like three tier missions, like one, go and upset this drug bust. Then two, go and take out these guys and hack a computer. And then three, we have to head all over the way to the airport, take out all the drug dealers and all the bad people that were there, even though we're bad people. And then one of our guys had to quickly jump into an attack helicopter and chase down a plane that was making a run for it, while the rest of us were at the airport sort of taking on the ground forces of this gang. That was very heist-esque, but to be honest, if you haven't found many of those, they're generally the ones that pop up 1 to 6 player missions.
All right.
High level side of things. But they've been really enjoyable. But it's the problem is as well, I'll say this now, when we all get out of these missions, we want to find something similar. So you see us all parked up in our fancy, completely mad, day-glow looking sports cars that we've all got, ringing the same people to try and find these missions. And honestly, it doesn't happen. You don't seem to find those big 1 to 6 player missions.
Mm.
And if you've got we've got a crew, I think we've got 7, 8 people in our crew now. No, it's not mass numbers, but when we're all on together, we want some missions that we can all play together where there's enough room for us.
Yeah.
Not this 1 to 4 go and kill a goddamn reporter and go nick his briefcase, which you can do on your own, may I add.
We've noticed the max we can have is 4 players, and it seems limiting.
Especially
for the size of the world.
Crew and heist. Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that going on. And the open world, I mean, it's essentially one giant lobby, isn't it? The map, when you're all rolling around.
Yeah.
That's where all the trigger points are, all the missions, all the things you can do, where your apartments are. There's not a whole heap to doing that. You can go and annoy people and try and blow people's cars up if you want to go on the bad sports server.
Oh.
I mean, I've got the achievement already for robbing all the 20 stores that are dotted around the map. That took me a grand total of about an hour to do, and phoning Leicester to get rid of the police for me every now and again. But I've kind of run out of things to do. I've won at golf. I've won at tennis. Now tell me what
the
else
whole
there
thing.
Is to do.
The whole tennis is in that you've won the game at tennis or what?
Won the tennis?
Yeah. You say you've won the tennis?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we played, like, I think me and one of my friends, I won the tennis tournament. The Los Santos Cup is mine. No, it was simply as we drove over to one of the tennis courts and thought we'd have a quick game. And that was it, but that's gone. So every tennis court has a tick next to it. We've played golf once, and I was quite surprised that we didn't get drive-by'd, but I did notice that you're spawning like a mission.
Yeah.
Because I have got into the golf course myself, just seeing if there is anybody trying to have a quiet round of golf and try and run them down in my Corvette-esque GTA car.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, you can't. But I do think they would probably get rid of that for the griefing side of things, expecting to be run down. But, I mean, we've had some funny stories. And I know, Luke, you've had a couple of silly stories that have gone on in the GTA world, GT Online world as well.
Yes, it mainly involves when we... And my friends know that the mission's going to be a failure. So we'll just say, oh, we'll do something stupid. So when my friends are going to fail the mission, when you've got to, I was going to say kidnap, steal the cargo plane from the hangar in the airport, we're failing the mission. And he got a Cessna and he drove it into the hangar he flew into the hangar. And then killed everyone, including us, and the plane, and the trucks, and the men, with the little Cessna, just as a chain reaction explosions. It was quite epic.
An epic fail.
Was indeed.
GTA Cyberscale.
Well, no, because I suppose the mission was a fail, but his attempt at going out with a bang was definitely a success.
Taking all his friends with him.
Yes.
That's the way to go. I mean, I've got one thing that I'm going to admit on the air as well. My friend Jack will probably be listening to this. We were getting the chase off the police with one mission. And when you have to pick people up and get them in your car. we were screaming out of the dock area with police all over us, helicopters and everything. And I have my friends that were trying to play distraction. Now, I was throwing sticky bombs on the police vehicles and the SWAT vans coming in front of me. Throwing the sticky bomb as they drove past. Everyone was a successful hit. It was like, yes, ran out of sticky bombs. Then I could see all the ducks behind me as I was flying across the freeway. And I got to the intersection bit where you got all the twisty turns. So I slowed down a bit, not realising that Jack was there in his very expensive Veyron right behind me. Now, I'd run out of sticky bombs, so I'd resorted to dropping hand grenades out the window and taking out things behind. Now, Jack had just shown up after taking a few bullets. I dropped a hand grenade, heard an explosion, then over the mic I hear, "What the hell happened?" I only got shot a few times, looked out my rearview mirror, just to see just like flaming wreckage, and at the bottom, his game attack has died. And I couldn't say anything because I had to mute my mic because I was laughing so hard while trying not to crash the car with this mission objective guy sat next to me, tearing down the freeway, laughing like a Bond villain. And
like a what?
Like a Bond villain.
Oh, like a Bond villain? I thought it's like a bongalong. I don't know what that was.
No, that'd be new on me as well. Never read one of those. And I was just laughing and giggling all the way back. And the whole time, my friend was completely trying to understand what had happened to his heavily armoured Veyron, or his Adder, should I say, in the game.
Was it insured?
It was insured, yeah, of course it was. But my God, it was funny from where I was. He's probably going to, as soon as he hears this live, I'm going to get a lot of abusive messages, I suspect, because it was a... I was even involved in the debate to figure out how the car could have blown up, and I was just hiding the fact that it was me that dropped the grenade. And that definitely put a smile on my face. Because, like you say, when it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
Yes, it does indeed. Yeah. GDA fail, though, was like an embarrassing fail, because it's always something that you could have avoided quite easily.
Yeah. There is, and then there's some people that I play online with. I mean, they're great fun to play online with. It's like, you're in the middle of a firefight, their car's on fire, and you're like, "Get in! Get in my car, we'll get out of here." And you see them run over. They run over to the back of the car, and you know they're violently pressing the getting the triangle or the Y button to jump in your car. Then they walk down to the side of the car a bit, and the whole time you sat there, just your car's just being peppered full of bullets.
Yeah.
And then finally they get in the car, and you launch out of there, and you get the chase for a little bit, and they're doing a bit of shooting, and then it says, "Lose the cops," you lose the cops.
Yeah.
And then you always have one of your friends, and you can kind of see it, because, you know, you see the window go initially, just, somebody's turning a stone. And you know your passenger, your friend, with your car, which is half destroyed from getting the chase off the police, you know they're going to start shooting at civilians, because they're getting a little bored in the passenger seat. And you're nearly at your objective, and then lo and behold, they start spraying MG bullets out everywhere, and you're like, "Oh my God." And then the one star comes back and the two star, and then when the police show up, of course they've got to shoot the police, so it goes back up to three star, so they can extend your mission time by a good couple of minutes as you're screaming across the hilltops to outrun police helicopters and everything. I mean, that's part of the fun of it, really. I think I really do think the how you can have a really successful mission, and then you can have times where your mission's been made really hard because one of your friends has just done something completely idiotic.
Yeah.
But it adds to it completely. So it does though, doesn't it? It makes it much more fun from where I'm sitting. Even though it can be frustrating at times, and you're just thinking, why did you do that? Or you go, "Get in the car or get out of the plane."
My friend's best one is, if people don't know how to play the game, he says, "Press Y for boost." So when they press the Y, obviously they get ejected from the car. Or, even funnier, when they're in the plane, he says, "Press Y." And he just says, "Good luck with that."
Yeah.
Why the farm to the death?
My one as well, because I got my car set to cruise and friends only. Crew members and friends only. Is when somebody else starts a mission and they think it's fun and they laugh and they jump in your car and drive off. And you just hold the back button, bring up access to vehicle, and just select no one. and the car will eject them at top speed.
Really?
It just fires them out the passenger door.
What?
It's even better when they're in a motorbike. You don't say anything. Just bring the back button up, let them ride off in your car, select the vehicle settings to no one access, and then all you hear is, what the hell? I just fell off your bike, going 200 miles an hour. In the meantime, you just sort of scuttle down the road in a car you've stolen, get on your bike and scream past them. I do find that quite funny. I do that quite a lot. Yeah, I get in my car. Oopsie-daisy. You can't get it back in it. There's just so many little things in there. It definitely pleases me. But have you got an apartment yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't got enough money for that.
You're a hobo.
I'm a hobo. I roam the mountain lands, hunting mountain wildcats and deer.
You can't hunt on GTA 9.
I can see a deer and shoot it.
Yeah.
So that's as good as hunting as it's. What's the phrase? It's as good. It's close to hunting as it gets. What on earth? That is the phrase I was meant to say.
I still don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I can shoot a deer on GTA and then it's like hunting, like on Red Dead.
Right.
With a sonic shotgun for its face.
There is actually like a hunting mini game in a single player, you know that.
I knew that completely.
He did.
Yes.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
As you do. Now, over on Newfeed, they haven't given GTA Online a review score. Now, obviously, it was getting tens and tens and tens, GTA was. But after a bit of conversation, because Luke hates giving review scores, don't you, Luke?
Because I hate the numbers and meaningless nonsense that they are.
Well, you know, we're going to give some of our listeners. I mean, we were talking about GTA Online. It isn't a 10 like the single player was. It has a lot of diversity and a lot of fun things you can do with your friends, but after playing it now for a good few weeks, with the problems they've had and the time it took them to solve, you know, the inability to replay favourite missions, then the added factor of, you know, basically cutting down 50% of the rewards for doing missions, the amount of times that you find yourself being told you're a bad sport when two or three people show up outside your apartment to jump you outside your building, strike, kill you, but you're the one that's a level 80 with grenades and all sorts of stuff. So you just throw grenades and then blow them and their cars up, and you get that, oh, you're being a bad sport, when no, they're the dickheads attacking the guy who's dressed like Rambo. You know, those type of things.
What? You won't believe.
There's no time frames on the heists and things like that. So all in all, I'm going to knock them down. And I'm thinking with a new feed score, I'm only going to give it an 85 out of 100.
Dun, dun, dun. Revelation.
It still seems like a high score, but when you look at it realistically with gaming, this is how reviews go. A 70 is a don't play. An 80 is a good, you should play. A 90 is a pretty damn good. And 100 is perfect.
A 70 is a don't play.
I pretty much say anything under a 7 or under, in my opinion, when you see
7 or under, score. Yeah. If a 7 or above is a player, 7 or under. Like a 6, you throw a used chip packet in the face of a 6.
Exactly. So we're going to give it an 8.5. It's in the middle round because it has got some teething problems. The lack of announcement when they're going to actually expand on the content that's in there, I know they've had problems, but still, there's people who've been playing it for weeks and people's attention spans aren't necessarily long enough to hang around. I'm going to, because I want the holy grail of a minigun at level 120.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we've only got so many days before the next gen launches as well.
Indeed.
But we shall get on with that debate about next gen launches and those games a little bit later on in the show. Because we've been playing some other stuff, haven't we?
Yes, you've been playing F1 Racer or whatever it's called. I don't know the racing game, sorry.
F1 2013.
I do apologize.
And do you find yourself hardly surprised?
Not really, no. I think it's been called that since the N64 days.
It has, yeah. Also, the fact of me playing it as well. That's one thing you should remember.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, people know I'm a big racing fan. We also have to plan our holidays, family holidays, within the mid-season break.
Yes, Dave will not have any negotiations with me, will you, Dave?
There's no negotiation with me. If there is an F1 weekends, and those are my weekends off, I still spend time with my daughter, but she watches the F1. She doesn't watch In the Night Garden or anything like that.
There's no choice.
She goes to sleep with the sound of V8s. That's what that is.
So if her like half-term holidays falls on, I don't know, Grand Prix week, there's no children's TV, it's just racing.
On that weekend, yep.
Yep.
There ain't no negotiation. I've gone seasons and seasons.
So good.
I one of my closest friends, right, genuinely knew how bad my passion is for Formula One and that sport, that he didn't give me an invite to his wedding. My invite just said to the reception on the evening, because he knew I wouldn't show up because of qualifying that day.
You did that?
I didn't need to do that. He knew already.
What? That is a good friend.
It is actually a really good
because
friend.
Because most friends will be like, you didn't miss my wedding for a race, but your friend's like, nope. I know you like racing so much that you don't have to come to my wedding. You can watch the race.
Exactly. It was good. That's respect. And he married the right woman as well, because she completely understood and knew where I was coming from as well. That's why I said, this is why you should be marrying that woman.
So much where you click fingers.
Yeah. That's the one, my friend. She's even agreed. She's marrying you and she's agreeing to my F1 addiction.
Good times.
But about the game.
How is it?
I'll be honest with you. With the game, there are tweaks and a few differences to 2012.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. There hasn't been many rule changes from last year to this year anyway in F1. Just a few technical differences that you wouldn't really feel in a simulation game, I don't think. A few bits and pieces on the aeros were changed. A little bit, you know, the rear grip in the game is a little bit different to last year. The tyre degradation, I think, is a bit more noticeable. So they've got that right with how it is in line with this season as well. Because the F1 game's always launched sort of halfway through the current season. So the 2013 season's gone like over 50% and then bang, the game comes out. So I think it gives them time to any adjustments in the rules or technical stuff that goes on. They can put that into the game. And there was only a small patch at the start as well. So hats off to them there. However, you do feel like there's a bit of repeat features with the jumping in and out of the car and the victory celebrations. I've seen all that before. But it's been more of an introduction into sort of the classic races.
Uh-huh.
We've put some sort of historical races on there. But you have to buy the special edition version of the game in order to get that included. There's only a limited amount of cars and a limited amount of old school tracks. If you buy the standard version, that's not included. It's additional DLC you've got to pay for. I mean, recently they've announced even more DLC for historical races. But you can't. That obviously doesn't fold into your career in the game.
Right.
Those are all sort of individual sequences that you just sort of pick right on the duty.
But that's your chance to, like, change history and mess with the timeline, kind of.
You mean Doctor Who meets Formula One?
Yeah, so you can be like, this guy didn't win the race at this time, this guy did.
Yeah, I think more of the recreations, like this, the stuff you got to do, it is like, this guy won this race at this time in this fashion, now you go and repeat history. When you fail, it's like, you fail, you know.
Yeah.
Right, so it says...
One guy in a robe on telly, you fail!
You've rewritten every book on your shelf. But all in all, I think the game is good. I'm looking forward more to seeing the next-gen version, because the F1 series has been around now for a few years since Codemasters brought it back, and you can see the architecture creaking a little bit. It's lacking a little bit of the atmosphere, but when you're screaming around the track, because it honestly will take you, you will be on the same track for about 2 hours.
Not a chance in my life would I be doing that.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But it requires intelligence. But you've got all the practices.
That's precious tea drinking time.
Tea drinking time. Well, yep. I drink beer and drive F1 cars, that's what I say. I get better the more fuzzy it gets, because I just get more dairy. I realize when I'm sober, you know, listen, but when I've had a few beers with Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits album, I'm flying around the track. I am Ayrton Senna. That's the way I look at it. But yeah, I just enjoy the game. I recommend people going out there having a look at it, because it's sort of like goodbye to the V8, because the next year's game is going to have the V6 turbos. I'm going to be boring a lot of our listeners, but hey, it's my sport. I'm talking about it. All the football Madden fans out there, hey, you enjoy your shit, I'm going to enjoy mine.
I'd rather play a racing game than a football game any day of the week.
I'd like to see you playing football.
I hear playing football. I play rugby well, because I'm just whacking with the fucking belly and face and just watch them go down at a sack of piss.
Basically, you can have a fight, so you'll play rugby.
No, because, shall we say, all of the ruffians in school, that's a good word to use, who thought they were...
The ruffians?
The hooligans, the scallywags. All of them who thought they were the big man in classroom. When you were in PE, the gloves were off, so you can be like, I'm going to smash into you. And you can't do anything because this is a sport.
And this is legal.
Yeah.
This is the bottom line, because Luke Riley said so.
It is indeed. And I remember doing it once, and he went on the floor, and it was just like, yes, you can't do a thing. I didn't even help him up, I just walked away. Like, deal with that.
With the theme tune playing.
Yeah.
Fair play. But no, I think it's a very good game. It's one of my annual, you know, one of the annual iterations that I do buy. It's a sport. That's why I just look at it, just being argumentative. I know I'm moaning about Call of Duty 47, but hey ho, I love Formula One, not military shooters.
Yes, indeed.
So, Luke, you've been playing The Wolf Amongst Us, haven't you?
I have indeed. I've been playing the Hamina, the trial, not the main game. The episode one is out, and like what The Walking Dead, it's going to be released in 5 episodes.
Yeah.
First episode's £3.39. I don't know what that goes to in the US, obviously.
Five and a bit ish.
$5.
That's my conversion rate. Hey, I'm doing better than most bankers with conversion rates nowadays. But hey, anyway.
Satire. Now the game is, first of all, it looks very good. It looks more like a comic than The Walking Dead does. It's 3D, but it is cell shaded. Tongue twister. It's cell shaded.
It's not a tongue twister. It's because you're from Sunderland.
I shall leave that comment and go no further with it.
Fight. This is not have a game of rugby.
That was such a polite. That was such a polite way of saying shut up. I shall leave the comment and should go no further with it.
I shall step away and I shall engage no further in your shenanigans.
Into my TARDIS. Another game.
You're gonna get in your TARDIS and slap me in the totally past.
The game looks more like a comic than The Walking Dead does. It's cell shaded. And you play as Digby. Or Bigby. It's Digby. He's a wolf. Well, he's a human. But he looks like a wolf.
So he's a werewolf.
He's indeed a werewolf. That is
like
the word.
He's like Beast out of Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. A permanent beast looking dude.
He's not permanent beast looking dude. He's got long hair and a beard. Just to make him look wolf-like as a human, as he is a werewolf. Thanks for letting us know what they're called, because I forgot.
he's a wolf, but a man. But
a man who has hair and a beard.
I'm putting a bet on he's a werewolf.
What word could be used to describe him? A werewolf.
A werewolf, dear boy. A werewolf.
Dear boy. And then you... absolutely just like...
I've killed this section.
That was among us.
A ring a ding ding. Luke Riley's on the ropes.
Yes, indeed. Bring it back. Bring it back. Air grab.
Scratch the record.
Yeah. What? The game that is called Wolf Among Us. You play as Digby. It's a quick time game. It's like Broken Sword as well, where you can pick up items by you moving the cursor around the map.
Telltale Games.
Yes, indeed. also makes of Back to the Future. The game, as the wolf, you have a fight in the first 5 minutes with the woodcutter that saved Red Riding Hood from the character you play as. And while you're fighting, the wolf says, like, oh, I'm going to take you down. The woodcutter says, like, last time.
Are you dressed as a grandma?
The wolf is not. The wolf is dressed kind of generic brown trousers and white shirt.
I thought the whole, when the wolf was in bed, he was dressed as Red Riding Hood's grandma or something like that.
I think he was.
But not in the game.
Nope, it's more like a, you're more like a detective. It's like Kojak but a wolf. Or Columbo. And you fight the woodcutter. And then, because he is hitting a woman, naughty, and then you're like defending the honor.
Like a hero werewolf.
Yes, you kind of kick the door open, and then you're defending a woman. Although you try to eat one in your past life.
I mean, before I completely derail this whole segment for you, I have just my own personal amusement.
Thank you, Div.
Do you find it amusing? Do you find it just as entertaining as like Telltale's previous like Game of the Year, Walking Dead? Is it on a par with that, or is it?
I can see it being fun and entertaining. I can't see it being as dramatic.
Not as morbid then. There's a bit more life to it.
Not even a chance.
No.
Not as morbid at all. Not even a chance.
Yeah, just because you think lightning. I don't. Would lightning strike twice for these guys? I mean, The Walking Dead was a like critical darling and sold everything. I mean, I've got it for my Vita as well. Could lightning strike twice with this game? Do you think?
Well, I remember playing the trial of Walking Dead, and that was instantly engaging. This one is, seems okay. Seems alright. Seems like a fun game. I mean, you do see, which I did like, because you see Mr. Toad, which
Mr.
I
Toad?
Yes, which I refer to as my brother sometimes, so never mind. He's in the hallway, and there's this thing called glamour, what the fairy tale creatures use to make themselves look human.
Okay.
And you just accept it as normal. You walk into the apartment building and the werewolves saying stuff like, oh, you gotta get your glamour. And the frogs,
you gotta get your glamour.
The frogs are supposed to go fabulous. I know, but you've gotta get your glamour, and then the frog says like, oh, I can't afford it, like Columbo, I can't afford it, Mac. And then
is this a take on the end of the TV show Once Upon a Time? Is it sort of in that sort of genre?
I haven't seen that. From what I've heard of Once Upon a Time, it certainly seemed like it.
It's in that sort of. So if you're a fan of really the series Once Upon a Time, this game would definitely be worth a look.
Definitely, definitely. It's definitely got that kind of thing about it.
Fairy tales.
Yes.
Talking frogs getting the glam on.
And then the little kid frog says to his dad, oh, what's going on? And then the frog says, go in your F-word room. So it's like, role model.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the first time I've heard Luke Riley be restrained with swearing.
Oh, Dave, man, I've just managed to talk about the game when you derailed it.
Again?
I'm hoping. No, I mean just in general. This Wolf Among Us segment. Can't even say the word wolf.
I think wolf. People are enjoying this segment. They probably played the game and they must be enjoying the tournament.
The Wolf Among Us, it is a game. Play it. Done.
Mm-hmm.
It is a game.
It is a game.
This is a gaming podcast. Look. We have talked about a game on a gaming podcast. Success.
We got there in the end.
It did indeed.
That's just me being annoying. I have a tendency to do that as well. Do you get to push anybody off lighthouses?
No, not but yet. You're reminded us, you do get to push the woodcutter out of a window.
Spoilers.
No, it's not spoilers in the first 2 minutes. Out of a window on top of a car, his back almost breaks, and then he gets an axe and bends under his skull. So that was me satisfied.
So you got to do malicious murder?
No, I was getting strangled. Almost turned into the wolf. The woodcutter was like some kind of, go on, turn to the wolf, I dare you, kind of thing. And then the woman comes up behind him and embeds an axe into his head.
Okay.
And then the end was like, the wolf among us. Titles.
With a bit of glam.
With a bit of glam.
Da, da, da.
Toad starts going, I'm super. Thanks for asking.
It sounds like something else. I'm going to give it a look anyway. All the torment aside, I mean, it's a game I'm planning on picking up. I've enjoyed The Walking Dead. I mean, one thing somebody put to me was with this game is a lot of people are playing it. See what if Telltale's magic strikes twice, in this, you know, with these type of games. Because Back to the Future, I didn't really enjoy all that much. I
think a couple of great episodes Scott. In.
Exactly. I didn't enjoy that one as much. Walking Dead, I couldn't put down. I played that episode by episode. It was
episode
like,
3, I will not never play that again.
Why not?
Because it ended too depressing.
Well, that's the whole point. The whole game's pretty depressing. I mean, the end of episode 5.
End of the game, I was just like, I'm in a glass case of emotion. Like Ron Burgundy.
Glass case of
and
emotion.
And then I just poured milk down my face and my beard was all wet and I was like, oh, milk was a bad choice.
Jesus. You need help. Anyway, so yeah, the Walking Dead series 2, season 2, I think that's what we're all waiting for. Telltale got another team working on that. That's what I'm hoping for. Because after 400 days, I really need season 2. And to see what happens, where it goes. Very interesting to see where they take that story, because I'm a big fan of the TV series as well.
Mm.
So you recommend people to go and play it then? Another interesting storytelling experience. Like an interactive, like say, graphic novel.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to buy it. You can get the season pass. The season pass does not include episode 1. That's a standalone buy one, there you go, done. And then the season pass, it's like about £10. It includes episodes 2, 3, 4, 5. So you pay the £10, and the future is secured.
So another reason to keep part of the current gen machines, then, if it's not yes, indeed. An announcement of being ported over. I mean, that moves us swiftly over to our section good about... one. It was segued off it, my friend. It was indeed. I was waiting. That's a three-pointer. Blindfolded. Jumping straight over to like the next gen. I mean, we were talking about this before we went on air about some of the games that have been delayed, not cancelled. We're talking about Watch Dogs and things like Drive Club as well being shelved. Well, not shelved, pushed back into 2014, first quarter. And The Crew as well has been pushed back by Ubisoft as well to a date in 2014. Even though I don't know why they told us that, because I'm sure it was 2014 anyway. I could be wrong with that one. But we had a bit of a discussion about this, about do we need the next gen now? When you have a look at stuff, Lou, with the games that are coming out, the Assassin's Creed, multi-platform, Watch Dogs been delayed, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty Ghosts, you know, there's multiple games on there that are coming out sooner on the current gen. Now, we've been like quite hardcore gamers and play pretty much everything that gets thrown in front of us, or we get told to play, or things that we want to play. You've got to grab it and you've got to get it now. So I ask you this, right? You've got a pre-order down for your machines. I've got a pre-order down for both the machines as well. I was excited, and let me put this into a bit of a discussion point. I was excited for the next-gen machines with things that were coming. Watch Dogs was definitely on my radar. I had a bit of, do I, don't I want it? I went, yes, no, saw a 15-minute gameplay, got interested in it again. That's gone. That was my Christmas game that I was going to play. Now, after GTA has come out, and I only gave it an 85, but the content and the amount that you can do in that and the stories and the fact that people keep coming back to it that I know, and the amount of fun we're having, it sort of dulled my excitement for the next gen. Now, for me, I'll put it out there. The only reason I'm buying a next gen machine now is for Forza. So I'm not really excited about the prospect of a next gen machine. I'm just looking for the next installment in a racing game which comes out every couple of years that I really want. So in essence, I'm paying about £500 for the next Forza. There's no other experience I'm particularly looking for. Even though I'm being peer pressured somewhat by some of my friends to buy Battlefield 4 around launch weekend just to play with them, there's nothing else that I really want to get my teeth into. There's nothing exciting me. And I mean, we're talking about, you said Batman is out. How excited are you for Batman?
He is Vengeance, he is Night, he is Batman. It is out this week.
Yeah, precisely. There's no announcement for a next-gen version of that game, so you're getting that for this.
No, because you would hear me screaming like a little girl from hell. If it was.
Exactly. And Assassin's Creed, you've also said you're going to buy it as soon as it comes out.
I pre-ordered that for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford the Xbox One deal when I thought, well, I'm going to get a game ready for when I get the console. But then I thought, what's the point in that? I might as well just get Assassin's Creed for the 360 and then play it, enjoy it, kill some soldiers via cannon and mortar.
But you're not going to... You said the only reason why you're going to pick it up for the next-gen machine is just to have a bit of a comparison to see what the graphics are like, didn't you?
Yes. I'll probably buy it for the 360, play it to death. And then when it comes out, when I get for the Xbox One in 2016, I joke.
Stop getting tattoos and you'll have some money.
Well, no, because my Skyrim sleeve is just being filled in again a little bit. All I need is two more sessions, and the Skyrim sleeve is complete 2 years after the game has been out.
That's why you're broke, because you keep getting covered in ink.
It's been 2 years. I've only gotten five on my arms in 2 years.
You're going like full five, Aborigine, five, basically.
Hey?
You're going full Aborigine. Tattoos on your face, everywhere.
We'll refrain from doing any accent. Quick, onto the game that is Assassin's Creed. Pirates and stuff.
Did it again.
Yep.
Successfully. Boom, shakalaka.
You said Aborigine. Instantly, I want to try and do an accent, but then I'll just offend people.
You wouldn't do this, but a Sunderland Aborigine accent, we don't need that on the show.
Nope, don't. That is an amalgamation of accents we do not need to hear.
It's also known as hardcore.
Hardcore accents.
Exactly. No. But yeah, so you said about Assassin's Creed 4, seeing it on current gen and next gen. And you can do this thing now. I'm sure Ubisoft has done it where if you buy it for this gen, you can pay like £10 or upgrade to buy, take it back into a retailer and upgrade for, I think it's £10. I know they're doing it with Call of Duty and a couple of other games where you can upgrade and have a look at the next gen version of it as well, and carry the stats over. I think because the online stats will stay. I believe. I mean, I don't think any clarification on that. Could be wrong. People can correct me on it. But all in all, I'm not as excited as I was. I mean, I'm a big Xbox fan. I was looking forward to the Xbox One, seeing what you can do on there. But the fact that the way it boiled down to it, my partner said it to me as well, essentially what you're doing is you're paying £500 for the next game. There isn't a lot coming out. I mean, I know launch titles aren't necessarily the best. I mean, the original Xbox and me had it with Halo, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And then we had the GTA 3 and the PS2 as well. Those are like defining gaming moments. Not release games for GTA 3, but you know, games that came quite early in the cycle that you've got those memories of.
Yeah.
And now we're so rich and diverse with the amount of games that we have to play on the current gen. It was going to be hard. Personally, I thought it was going to be hard for these next gen machines to come out and completely wow us with what they can do.
Yeah.
Really, really. But now when you've got your Killzone, Knack, that's the PS4 stuff.
Yes.
Essentially, we've got Rise. Dead Rising 3,
yeah,
and Forza 5,
mm-hmm.
and we've obviously got the Killer Instinct as well, which is essentially just like a glorified demo. Realistically, there isn't a lot of new games out there, and there's always questions about what the frame rates are going to be. Is it going to be 70 DPI, all that 720 DPI, all that type of stuff? I'm getting the impression that us early adopters are going to come off the worst, because by the time the games that come out for these machines that are going to be really, really good, that they must have titles, there's going to have been a price drop in these consoles. I really do. And are we going to be people left literally carrying the burden, lining Microsoft and Sony's pockets with money? And then we played like the couple of games that had next-gen-esque features to them.
Uh-huh.
Only to find out, hold on a minute, people are paying £150 less than me, and they're getting a better selection of games. Is that the curse of the early adopter? What do you think?
I possibly think it is, because I waited 2 years for the 360,
mm-hmm.
And then 3 years for the PS3. So I had a kind of backlog of games to go back on. I didn't have to wait for the new games to come out. I mean, if you get an Xbox One and you're only into a certain kind of game,
mm-hmm.
I suppose there's not much choice.
Exactly.
But the three games that I really want for the next gen are Titanfall.
Why not?
Because it's only multiplayer. And it's really... It behooves me, is what I like to use. I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. It is a word. It was sounding out in Abbey, so it's a word. It behooves me... To see that.
How'd you spell this?
I'm trying to think what the context of the word is. Oh, yes, because it just says it might behoove you to do this, so it's to do something. So it behooves me not to be.
Behooves me. Oh no, listeners want to know this. Behooves me. Right, I'm having a look at this up. The definition of behoove.
Fucking collapse, sorry for swearing.
Wow.
Edit that out.
Right. No, we'll leave that in. Nine powerful behooves. Behoove. Confirm to satisfy condition or restoration. What? It behooves us to reflect on this matter. Be fitting, be necessary, be wise, be advisable, be obligatory.
Behooves fitting, wise.
Put it back into your sentence.
I just said it. I even put my hand up like emphasis. It behooves me.
It behooves you to buy a next gen console.
Behooves. Who invented that word?
It behooves one to do. Every definition is written like it was in the 18th century.
Dave, don't even bother lying. You're going to start using that in work. It will behoove you to move that file.
It behooves me to report the crime. It behooves you to pay for the window that broke. Those are some of the definitions to use in the sentence.
Definitely.
Say your sentence again, and let's rewind that bit.
Right.
Breathe, man. I've never heard... Go on.
It. I don't even know. It behooves me.
You can't even get the sentence out. It behooves. I can't even remember it now.
I forgot what I was going to say. I just said the word. Just because I could.
It behooves with two O's. That's what I'm saying. Actually,
what a mid word, though. I might see if I can.
It's solid gold.
Get my nieces and nephew to say it. And then they start saying it in school and totally confusing teachers.
It behooves one.
Imagine
one pencil.
Imagine a 4 year old. It behooves one.
Jesus wept. That's brilliant. I can't even remember the context of what you said. It behooves
what I was going
me.
To say is, I will be buying the console. Like, I want to buy the console mainly after Witcher 3, Metal Gear 5, and Dragon Age 3 is out.
But it behooves you to do so before, so.
That's what I was going to say. It behooves me to buy the console when those three games are out. Boom! In one. Slash 5.
In a sentence structure. That's the challenge. I need the best sentence possible using the word behooves. Followed by the word one. It behooves one.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. How the hell you got down on Abbey the word behooves title. Into a reference to
I've
next
been
gen launch.
As well for watching Downton Abbey. And I will not have it. Because Downton Abbey is awesome.
I've never watched it.
My friend was like, what's going to happen, Luke? Is the teapot going to be spilled?
Pretty much.
Nope. It's intense. It is intense. Especially when there's no Earl Grey left. The house goes on a panic.
You actually rubbed your hands together then, didn't you?
No.
I thought I heard a definite hand rub. When the I'm lost now.
Let's not comment on noises like that on a podcast.
I've lost everything. It's not. We're on the same subject. We were talking about next gen games and Dukes. I don't know. I'm lost as much as the listeners are right about now.
To continue
we were
the podcast.
We were smashing this game in conversation, and then you hit a home run with the word behooves. We've been Wikipedia-ing.
That's the episode title. It behooves you to listen. People are being behooved at my behest. Ah, that is the episode title. Behooved at my behest.
Right then.
People won't know where to turn.
We're going to have the CEO on the phone after he listens to this going, what the hell happened in the last segment, guys? You know, you're talking about the next gen. You're trying to build on something of do we need the next gen machines, comparisons, the multi-gen releases, all this type of stuff, the cancellations with Drive Club being moved back. I mean, hey, I've actually realised what I was going for as well. This is an isolated incident, I do believe. I know one person that is a driving fan, but has diehard PlayStation for a long time, does own an Xbox now. But he said that Drive Club was his go-to game, and we've argued about Drive Club and Forza at launch, which one will be the best. And it's been quite a lot of camaraderie, even though I know I was going to slap him to the ground when those games came out. But he has switched now his pre-order over to an Xbox One, so he can have a driving game at launch. So he has stepped away from Sony to come over to the light of Microsoft to play Forza just because Drive Club got cancelled. And before people say Gran Turismo 6, I hear you cry, he wanted a next-gen racer.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And that's got to be an isolated incident. Now, I wonder as well, with people I know are pissed because their games that they were going to be buying. I do know, because we talked to so many people, and I know loads of people that were buying the Watch Dogs PS4 bundle.
Mm.
And then not happy because they're still waiting for answers on what's happening with that machine. You know, they've been told from some retailers, yes, well, you can still have your machine, and the game will be shipped at a later date when it's launched. And they're like, well, no, I don't want to do that. I just want the machine now. I'm going to choose another game. And there's a bit of tit for tat going on. It hasn't really been picked up much in the media. There's people out there that still haven't got confirmation on what's going on. And I know this because today, just before we went to where to record, there were people still saying they haven't had the answer. Now, Watch Dogs was cancelled last week.
Mm.
So has that affected Sony sales with it being bundled with retailers saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. People going, but I don't want it. I'll buy it, you know, later on as an individual product. Right about now, I want to know what game I can put on instead, not have to pay for it and have it shipped at a later date. So there are things out there, questions that people still want answered.
Indeed. Columbo's on the case. What you gonna buy, Mac?
I don't smoke cigars. And I drive a better car. So then, there we go. But yes, we now use your craziness.
Yes,
how the hell you got the word behooves in? That's killing it. Absolutely smashing it. I mean, I must say, a lot of the stuff we've talked about, some of the stuff we've talked about, the reviews for The Wolf Amongst Us.
Yes.
Over on Newfeeds, come and have a look at. Conversations about GTA. Titanfall, may I just say, as well, has been given a release date of March 13th, which is actually my birthday, which means GTA came out on my mother's birthday. I had to cancel her party for my for GTA. And my birthday party is going to be cancelled because I'll be playing Titanfall as well.
Mm.
There's various stories splattered all across Newfeed. Get in, join the conversation, play the games, read the reviews, do everything you need to do. Luke, this is your bit. How do people get in contact with us? And where to find the show as well?
It behooves you to go to Twitter and search us at Remedy Live for Dave's Twitter sphere. At YouGamers for my Twitter. And then there's at NoobFeed for NoobFeed's Twitter. And then at
Podcast Latin?
Yeah.
You forgot for the name of the show.
Podcast.
I'd say as well, go to newfeed.com as well. That's where I was directing everybody. That's where you should go. Read what we're talking about. Plenty of good conversations on there. Very talented writers, great reviewers, all types of craziness going on. Hey, they employ us, so they must be a little bit crazy. In a good way. In a good way. But we will be back. And we'll be back next week. We'll be stepping up production of Podcast Locked In due to popular demand. We're going to go for... But seeing as we're going to be doing the run-up now for the next gen releases, we're in the final month countdown. We're going to be tracking the news stories and the important stuff that people should know, all the little ins and outs, all the little shots fired between Microsoft and Sony regarding these launches. We're going to cover those as well as talk about some of the games we're talking, the playing, I think is the word I was trying to use.
Yeah.
But I keep getting the word behooves. There's no point in me trying to read any of the notes I've put in front of me because all I'm seeing is a page full of behooves, and that's really confusing. It really is really confusing, but I think people get the gist because they've listened to the show before. They've realised you're a little bit crazy. I try and hold on to everything like that. I threw your segment out. You completely destroyed the last segment with those that mad phrase.
Indeed,
we are the only podcast on the internet where you'll find the web who's Downton Abbey in a conversation with the next gen launches and the question of, do we need the next gen? Yes, we need the next gen, but do we necessarily need it now? Or could they have left it another 6 months just to annoy everybody to wait until the better games were out? I'll leave that one with you. Should we get off the air, Luke?
Yes, I think we should. It behooves us to do so.
It does. Behooves one.
Yes.
But thank you for listening. Newfeed.com. Go have a look. Send us messages. Insult us on Twitter. We don't mind. We don't care. And we'll speak to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Toodle pip.
Behooved, seriously, behooved is the funny thing you could think of during the show.
If I'm honest, Dave, I don't know where I get this sort of genius from.
Well, never ceases to amaze me, let's put it that way.